And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeated, here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, on that. From the beautiful studios of Freedom's of the Last, Freedom's Phoenix, all right, we're going to push the button. See, here we go. Dr. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am.
He made it. I even gave him till after the music was done. But I think he came in at the beginning. You came in, it was story started, didn't you?
You're too generous, Ernie. You're too generous.
I thought you were going to come in.
No, I got a wife, dude. I have a patient at like 10 o'clock flying in. So
but we still have
some special shows coming up, right? We have the show with our guest star coming up in a few weeks. And then we have the blowout with Tim Pachode, and it looks like we're going to have a round table in a few weeks as well. So
our special guest, which one's that?
Mr. Ho, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, Donna's hooking that. I don't know. I'm kind of like, you know, say, like, deal with that.
Yeah. So we have some special shows coming up for Freedom's Phoenix in the next few weeks we'll be doing in studio.
Yeah, for the
audience.
All right. Yeah, more Trump. All right. This is real quick. We just, you know, I want to, before we get into every little old thing, this vaccine thing and this Wuhan and the kind of whatever and this guy, the battle is freaking on, man. This is the big psyop propaganda, whatever the hell kind of stuff. I got a new meme I want to get Davi on. You know, here it is. The crown clown. I want like it being wearing a crown with a hypodermic going after a baby, man. The crown clown. I'm like, oh, ew. I just need some ew. All right. So tell me, you know, I'm on your list. You do text messaging to friends and family and everything, and they're all freaking out. We got a doctor in the family. We got to ask Dr. Frank, you know, how many masks we got to buy and stuff. So, you know, you've been sharing information on how this works and the Plague Inc. game, and you're getting all, you know, this is serious and be paid attention to. So give the audience a quickie on what's coming, what concerns they should have, and, you know, where they need to put up plastic or something.
Sure. Well, I mean, I wouldn't everyone become bubble boy, but, you know, it is something that this time I think could be a problem. We've talked in prior shows not to rehash it all, but people haven't heard before. This virus is more of a problem, not necessarily because it's more lethal, which it is by a few percent points. The flu's like 1 to 2%. This is about 7%. That we know. Now, keep in mind, everything's very fluid. I mean, the information keeps changing. But the reason it seems to be closer to 20% mortality rather than the 7 I just mentioned is not necessarily because the flu is that, or this is, the coronavirus is much worse. It's the fact that it hits everybody at the same time because of the long incubation period. So many people can have it at the same time, not know it. Then everyone gets hit with it at the same time. And if you have a low immunity, if you're elderly or poor immune system, or if you're a child, I'm worried about my 2-year-old myself. With all of that, if you wind up going to the hospital, you need an ICU bed, which is typical. It'll keep you alive. But if everyone at the same time is hit at the same time, there's not enough ICU beds. And therefore, that is why we're seeing an increase in mortality. It's not quite the virus of being the walking dead. It's just the way this thing is playing out and the surprise for people. With that said, also, it is now technically, or has been, a pandemic. A pandemic is whenever you have independent confirmations in more than two countries. And of course, we have that. We have about 14, I think it's 14 more cases were found in Japan. I think it was 14, maybe even more than that. Also, Vietnam. Vietnam just reported a bunch of cases. So they're now involved.
People, they get this flu and we're done. You know, and they don't know. Sick. I mean, you know, it was, you know, it seems like, one, it's kind of targeted Asian, you know. Then it's... Yeah. If you're susceptible and if you're not getting treatment. Now, what do you talk about treatment? You know, IVs, you need to get fluids. I mean, you know, I know a doctor, give me an IV.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if it's an ICU, you're just basically quarantined yourself for the benefit of others and yourself. It's typically oxygen. This thing seems to hit the lower lobe of the lung more than other flus. So that's how people are dying. I think it's part of it. Is that they're not able to get enough oxygen in them, and then if you don't get enough O2, that kind of leads to one problem and others. So a lot of it is just to make sure that they have access to be intubated if they have to, or have access to oxygen. But clearly, if you happen to be in the hospital and there's no rooms and they put you in some hallway, you know, there's you're just surrounded by this bug.
I don't believe in collective solutions. I'm looking at the individual. The individual goes out and gets an oxygen generator. The individual goes out and learns how to, you know, give himself an IV. The individual does what?
So I'm going to tell you the best thing to do, and I'm not trying to be flippant with this, but the best thing is to isolate yourself. And I'm not saying do it right now. I'm not calling for some crazy riots here. I'm just saying prepare for being on your own, which is for this audience. We've been doing this a long time for other reasons. So the best thing to do is to stay out of the hospital and also away from other people so you don't get it and allow this thing to blow over. Let me give you a couple big pieces of advice. First off, of course, rubber gloves. You get that. There's also these disinfectants that you can buy on Amazon that doctors use. They're called Cavi wipes. Okay, Cavi wipes. If only you can pull it up right now, Ernie. You can buy it on Amazon. I was surprised. My mother found it online, and we just get it as doctors. C-A-V-I, Cavi wipes. And they even have a spray, which I didn't even know about. You can spray it like Windex. But this sucker kills just about everything, and you don't want to be touching it. They look like baby wipes, but there's all sorts of warnings. Do not use it on your baby because it'll cause a major rash. But anyway, Cavi wipes disinfect pretty much everything. I would use them around the house.
$73 to $324. What the hell is it?
Yeah, it's good. That's the point.
Good.
And
what?
Then also,
I mean, what was the active ingredient?
You can read it. I can't even pronounce the active ingredient. But we actually disinfect the rectal probes at my office with it. So you get an idea that this is something if you have around your house to disinfect, because this virus seems to hold around for sometimes up to 28 days on a surface. I mean, that's astounding. I mean, the average virus, typical virus is like 48 hours, and this is like a month. So this whole thing is, the problem is that it's just everything winds up getting contaminated at once. Now, the other thing is masks. I want to really clear this, get this straight for people before the break. So people are buying all these masks. If you go to Walgreens, I'm telling you, I've gone to like every Walgreens in the area. They're all wiped out. Every Safeway, you can't find them anywhere. What's interesting is that if you find any masks, what you're left with are the so-called expensive masks, where you get, in other words, the cheap masks, you get like 50 to a box for $10. That's what everyone's buying. But the expensive masks are like three masks for like $10, and people think that those masks are not worth it. But here's the deal. When you wear the cheapy surgeon masks, and you see people walking around with them in China and everywhere, those masks, they do not protect you from the virus. They just protect others from getting the virus from you. So that is why it's mandatory in places like China. They'll arrest you without a mask. It's not because they care about you. It's the fact that they just don't want you spreading to other people. So when you breathe in those masks, if you don't have a very tight seal around the sides, then you're actually breathing the air around the sides into you. And therefore, you're actually in some ways funneling the outside ambient air and possible viral particles in you. So what you need instead are special masks that have a direct seal around you. And that's what these more expensive masks do. Those are antiviral, or at least can keep out some of the particulate much more. I just wanted to make that clear.
All right. Cavi wipes, disinfectant, kind of we can go and, you know, duct tape and plastic your house or something. I don't know. We'll find out.
Nah.
Probably not. But we're going to find out. Yeah, it's a. I'm looking at it, it's ammonium chloride something.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20.
Okay, we'll get the Trump report. We did enough of that.
And by the way, I just sent some pictures to Donna. It's of the mask that I recommend. And we can, when we come back, I can just talk about the brand and what it is, but it is still available on Amazon.
So anyway, that could
help people. At least they have a specific one that I would recommend. I was always surprised that this mask is designed as
Frank sent you pictures of masks that he wants to need to get the pictures into this, like now. Frank said, it's all Frank.
Oh, jeez.
He's making you do it. Mock Chanel. She's in the other room doing kind of whatever.
And by the way, did you also hear with, was it Senator Cotton? He was mocked by CNN. And of course, they're making everything political, which is disgusting that they're making this virus issue political. But it sounds like he was being confirmed that our group, you know, says, which is, this might be, if not man-made, then it was certainly in a lab. Did you hear about that? That it was supposedly the
I infection. Saw Cotton. I didn't even know he was one of our congressmen. That's how much I don't care. So yeah. Well, I saw he did something. They're doing something. So tell me everything.
Well, basically, there's two pieces of evidence that this did come from a lab. And it wasn't just some conspiracy theory, which, you know, anything's possible with this kind of crap. But what the thing is that the cases we thought first originated from this animal market. It was like the wild animal market. If you wanted to eat cheetah for breakfast, you know, that's where you would go to get it. And so that made sense for a vector because, you know, bats would infect some wild animal. And how often is someone going to be in close contact with the fluid of some kind of cheetah? It's only, you know, some slaughterhouse on the streets of outskirts China. So that's kind of where we thought this came from. But it turns out that across the street, like literally across the street, walking distance, is this
CDC thing.
CDC kind of thing. Exactly. Across the street. Right. And then so that's circumstantial evidence. But the second thing is that there was, I don't want to get this wrong. It's either a tweet or some kind of on Reddit, but a documented report from someone that worked there stated that he was bitten by a bat at work and he put himself under a 2-week quarantine himself at the same time that all this happened. So it's, you know, it's too much of a coincidence again because we think this came from a bat, and here is something that someone posted before all this started, saying that he was bitten by a bat and he worked at that same company, which is across the street. So, you know, it's kind of enough to at least say we don't know officially, but there's more than circumstantial evidence now that this very well could
be. All right, here we're coming back. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me.
Yeah, baby. Satisfy me, baby. Yeah, little less conversation, a little more action, please. Well, that's what we're doing here. We're actionating all over the place. We're going to be having fun. You know, I mean, if you're not having fun doing it, yeah, you're doing it wrong. But I'm telling you, it's serious stuff. All this, it comes down to one simple thing, man. Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? I keep proving that over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and people aren't idiots. They're trying to make you an idiot, though. That is damn skippy. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. Donna's putting up some graphics of stuff that was suggested by Dr. Frank. We'll get that a little bit later. You know, one of the things he mentioned off air, we have a Congressman Cotton here that I didn't even know. I mean, he's one of our congressmen here in Arizona. Woo! I'm so proud of myself. I did not know that. Anyway, so he's out there going, yeah, it looks like, you know, this might have been, man-made, kind of manufactured, a little alteration, a little something-something into something. And where this, they said, oh, it happened in this exotic meat market across the street from their CDC where they were working on it.
Exactly.
So you go, yeah, okay. You know, of all the places, anyway. So this has been, it's like a movie. It's almost like they needed to create a movie, the movie, you know? So I'm going, all right. So I don't know how long we got to wait for this to play out. This may go around for a while.
That's a great question, and I certainly don't want to be adding any to any panic of people out there. Just to be prepared, because I was amazed how many people were not taking this as seriously. I think as long as you're aware and you're able to get some masks and just be prepared, have water at home, toilet paper, just the basics. Because if there's a quarantine, it's one of these things that happens quick. And it's not going to be, hopefully, like China, where it's draconian. And, of course, in China, they have drones following you around. If you go outside during quarantine, they have government drones tracking you. I mean, it's just crazy. Of course, it probably is happening here anyway.
I know. This whole thing could be a test or a mandate or a justification for, freaking dystopian future of 1984 schedule thing.
It can, but it's also interesting is, just like we've talked earlier, that this could be some way China's version of Chernobyl, a big drastic event that shows the incompetence of communism in this case, or the government control, that this might actually put a death nail in the China system. But at the same time, whether it's intentional or not, it's reinforcing the nationalist populist wave. I know this is the Trump report, but the nationalist populist wave, because the whole point is borders. And then the importance of having borders and the ability to shut down your borders if need be. And so this is reinforcing that point, whether people are in favor of that or not. But it's feeding right into this nationalist wave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was one thing from the beginning. You could tell this is what was coming. And we're showing some, antiviral mask stuff that you got up there. Donna's got it up. So they're all good. Now, this is the one thing. They're going, yeah, we're going to definitely use this to let people know that we need to have a central authority to save everybody, because that was what they were saying. Z's going to show the abilities of a centralized government. Let me show you how many hospital beds we can get under a roof. Watch this. So they build, within a couple of weeks, all of a sudden, boom, they got a bunch of hospital beds. And I'm going, you know what? That's not the answer. To me, it is self-quarantine. Why do you want to put a bunch of sick people with unsick people trying to take care of sick people? They're all sick. You just freedom the people and the resources and a free economy and, a free market that they can buy all the stuff that they want until it runs out. And then there's incentive for them to make money and rip you off and raise the prices, which means more stuff's going to get made and the free market fills a need and the people take care of themselves. And then, oh my God, they learn from past experience that they got to take care of themselves. So people are taking care of themselves, and then they, prevent it. They know what needs to be done. They're instead of this collective, everybody gets sick and dies. I'm just going, this is going to be a neon flashing example of what should happen and what countries are going to be much better prepared for this. They're going to go collective in China, and hopefully in America, they'll go like, hey, man, we need to be able to take care of our own communities and so on, and we'll see what happens.
Well, interesting too. These are just, by the way, I appreciate this conversation. I'm just throwing some thoughts out there. This stuff will flesh out in time. But not to sound like Bernie Sanders saying this, but some people have commented how this virus, maybe not by design, but it seems to be affecting the poor people and keeping the white collar. It's sort of like it's going after blue collar workers. And the reason they're saying this is because with under the quarantine or if, like over time, the point is that blue collar workers can't work at home. They have to go to factories and be surrounded by this. But the white collar workers nowadays can all work remotely and they can self quarantine. So it's interesting how it's affected one group simply because of that dynamic.
Yeah, free range chickens are healthier. They still become a chicken McNugget, but I mean, you know, at least they're more free range. So this is it's a sign of a lot of things. I'm definitely paying attention on a lot of different levels because whenever these kind of crises happen, what's the government's first thing? We got to do something. We got to do it. The same thing for everybody and put a camera on them and, you know, and robot sensors of like a soldier going around looking for these guys. Whoop, that guy's got a fever. Boom. And they jump them and they put them in and they I'm like, wow. And they believe in what they're doing. Yeah, we're going to save the planet because of this person's. Oh, my God. It's like a dystopian sci-fi movie. You know, where is the. I am. This is going to be so neon flash and obvious of different systems. A free market freedom system is what deals with this best. Now, you were talking about, you mentioned 20-something percent mortality. Where the hell did that come from?
That's what they were finding over in China. It was like one out of five, you know, when everyone was flooding those hospitals at the same time. That's what they mentioned. So that's kind of the difference.
The people going into the hospital, one in five are dying.
That was the report, 20%. But it was mainly it's like the people that were caught up in the hospital. So, like I said, don't take everything, you know, exact right now. They figured the virus by itself has maybe a 7% mortality, but it could be up to 20% in certain areas when the hospitals were flooded because, you know, again, they had no access to care. And that's where the 20%. And that is why China, you know, which basically doesn't, you know, they're communists, obviously. They're building these crash hospitals this quick because they're seeing how this is playing out. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't be buying.
They did it fast enough. I think they knew. You know,
of course they knew. They've been hiding this for a while. I mean,
there's something. Doctor, they knew something happened. They went, holy crap, man, we got to get on it.
And this is why it's just like Chernobyl. It echoes Chernobyl and what happens when you have when the whole government is the deep state and the issue. So, by the way, there is a website I'm going to recommend to all of you guys. Again, I'm not officially vouching for it completely, but it's the one that I use, I think, more than others. It's called Peak Prosperity. Peak Prosperity on YouTube. And it's a doctor who's doing very good updates on the coronavirus. I recommend it.
Okay, Peak Prosperity. All right.
Pull it up right now. You can pull it up on your thing.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Peak Prosperity. Boom. And we got up there. There she is. All right. So they're keeping track of this. Another place. Be right back.
We have some good news. The indictment.
Okay. So we got the COVID-19 update. Blah, 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 blah. I can't keep track of how many times I've gone through this. In my life, it started in my first recollection was in the late 70s. It was avian or swine flu or something. It's always some flu. And it was always, why did it come from China? Well, they always say it starts in the east and it comes over. And I don't know why they get blamed all the time, but they have, I guess, bigger herds of, you know, ducks and birds and pigs out in the field of whatever, and they say, oh, they always do it. And I'm like, yeah, right. So, of course, here they pump the crap out of their animals with all kinds of God knows what. And the solution is just good husbandry. You know, if you just had, you know, smaller farms, you have your own damn chickens and eggs or something. It's just, we need to, freedom's a freaking answer, man. And what do they want to do? You're not allowed to occupy your own land. Hell, you're not even allowed to have land and get your ass in a shipping container stacked in down by the light rail system with everything a body needs gruel coming out of the faucet. So I'm going, this is the mindset that we're being told that we got to accept. And then you go and you get groceries and it's everything out of a Mylar bag or a cardboard box. And I'm going, gee, and you wonder why we got a problem with our immune system after you spent years of my childhood pumping you with all kinds of crap. So I'm going, this is, it's a slow kill, man. There is something else going on.
Well, I wanted to add another part, and but most of the audience may not remember, but you know, I spent a lot of time in Asia. I went to college in Japan. I lived at a Buddhist monastery for quite a while.
Yeah, you're all Asian.
I've been in Mongolia. I got dysentery in Mongolia.
And at 6 foot something, you definitely did not blend.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely stood out. And this is before iPhones, when you had translators and GPS locators to show you around, and you had to actually learn the damn language and figure it out. But anyway, with that, I sound like an old man now. but seriously, when you're in China or certain areas, especially like northern Philippines and areas. Asians, you have a couple things going on. This is no slight to my Asian friends out there, but A, there's a whole bunch of them, and they're packed together, okay? And in many ways, it's a testament to their culture that they can live close together. They have, you know, two or three families in one house, you know, grandparents, and everyone lives together. They live in close quarters. They're used to doing it, and that's why many things are small and tiny. That's why, you know, Japanese are good at making small things and small cars and everything, because they're so tightly packed together. That's one part of their culture. The second part to this is, and this does not really apply to Japan, but in China and Philippines, different places, they don't really believe in soap. They're not really into cleanliness the way that we look at it. They don't believe in soap, many of them. And so they will often, they don't have toilet paper in many places. They will use their own hands to wipe their behind, which I know it's kind of early in the morning to talk about this, but that's what they do. And then they'll just rinse their hands off with water and then go back and make food and whatever else. And I've seen this firsthand. I mean, this is how they live. Now, the irony is that the Asians, especially places like in China, the Philippines, they have extremely strong immune systems. Their immune systems are stronger than ours because they battle these diseases all the time. They don't have foo-foo smart water, you know, that they buy at the health food store. I mean, their water, like going to Mexico, has all kinds of bugs in it, and they have a stronger immune system than Americans do. But with that said, between the close quarters and not using soap, this is why many of these things, these pandemics, start from Asia.
Yeah.
Two important points.
Okay, but they're more susceptible to this one. They need to customize one for them or something? All right, here
we go. Well,
What's
up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Propagandy, propagandy. If you want to fool the folks, it comes in handy. If you want to tell some lies, pull the wool over their eyes, you can do it with propagandy. Propagandy, propagandy. You can liberate the babies from their candy.
Liberate the babies from their candy. Oh, it's so easy with propagandy. All right, well, am I getting a lot of propagandy? I don't know. Probably. You never let a good crisis go to waste. I mean, you know, that's
you know, true.
Rahm Emanuel, man, you gotta go get some. So so you can just feel it coming. Well, in the end, there's going to be. I can feel it. You know, the measles thing didn't play out for them. You know, they're going, measles got. And then they started to find out the reason we got such a measles outbreak among everybody that's been vaccinated is because the vaccination isn't working. It has to be re-upped all the time. You don't get the real kind of level A, B, and C. I had a guy that from the vaccine industry on Friday that Alex Aquarius, I think his name is, you know, he goes, look, man, let me tell you how these work. He was in the pharma industry, and he goes, let me tell you how they do it. It's like 11 days, they have infected chicken embryo in an egg, then they break it open, do it, and then they reinfect, and they reinfect. They got to go through different levels of this to attenuate, you know, that kind of, it's like beating the virus over the head with a bat or something to make it weaker or something. They got to go. That's why it takes so long for them to do this. They got to go through these steps or it doesn't freaking work. So anybody comes out with a Wuhan virus kind of heads up, oh, we had it right here all along. You're going, really? Why? Since when? Why did you have, they're going, damn it, maybe we didn't. We didn't want to let them, people, they're finding out, they know. This is, the information on this, we're all going to get science educated this time. And at the end of this, there's going to be some more education and people understanding instead of it just being on Fox News and them telling us what we got to do. So I'm going.
It's a pretty good point, if you think about it. You know, this is the first pandemic that's occurred in the YouTube age. All the others happened before. This is the first time in the age of Trump and Twitter, and it's a whole new world. So you're completely correct. This is the, I think we're going to be, you know, re-educated in a different way, how governments work, how things are reported. Now, hopefully this isn't going to be, again, the Walking Dead issue, but I think it's going to be a learning experience in this new age of postmodernism that we've talked on this show multiple times. You know, it's another chapter.
All right. Freeze the answer. What's the question?
Yeah, let's move on. I think ultimately.
How long is this? Real quick. How long is this going to play out?
I was just about to comment on that. I think the real reason is that we don't know. Whatever happens, whether it spreads everywhere or not, or if we stop it quick, everyone needs to know. We're probably looking at round two next year because we'll probably have another mutation, and for the next season, at least. I mean, obviously, we'll be much more prepared next year. But I don't think this is the last we've heard of it, even if we stop it in the next few weeks. That said, you know, the spread, we're still seeing it in these other countries. It is going up at the same rate that we expected with an R-naught of 4, which we talked about prior show. So it is still spreading. However, the whole world knows now that people are taking action. It's not spreading in America as much as we had thought. We've been through 2 weeks now since the case was found here in Arizona. So we haven't heard of any new cases now. So I'd like to think that we might have put the kibosh on it enough, but I'm still waiting at least another 2 weeks to see if these numbers keep going up. I have a feeling if with good measures, it might start to plateau in the next 2 weeks. And if so, then I think we probably abated this right now. So some good news. We'll see. Okay. Well, definitely covered on the show if you guys are interested in it. You know, I know we're supposed to talk about Donald Trump, but this seems to be taking precedent in some ways. And I just want to get some good information out there because, like, I'm realizing for a lot of my friends and family.
What has Trump been saying
about it?
You know, Trump has been jumping on. Woo, we need more government of Trump. I mean, you know, is this he good crisis? He's not going to let go to waste, or he's kind of, yeah, whatever. And kind of, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot from him, which is, I'm, you know, better than not. I don't care. You know, I just want the freedom to take care of. Just give me the information. But what do people do? They go to, you know, government handout of the CDC, FDA, and pharma tells me kind of, and I'm on CNN, we're all going to die. Kind of, I'm going, you know. I just want the freedom to get the information that I want, quit censoring the people that are freaking there, quit arresting everybody that's telling me what's going on, you know, or killing them, and then I'll make my own decision and where can I buy it. This is, you know, that's not what happens. You must be, we want everyone to know why they need us. And I go, that's not doing it for me. It's not doing
it. You know, we've talked a bunch on the show, again, this thing with modernism and postmodernism and this inflection point in history where throughout all of time, everything was top-down approach and slowly diluted to the point where now, just the last few years, the inflection is going the other direction where it's going bottom-up. And information now is our own personal bubbles and social structures going the other direction. And, of course, that's what the globalists and the mainstream media and all of every single structure that we have is fighting the future. And of course, that is where it's going to be. And I know, Ernie, that you've predicted this for a long time with Frames Phoenix and where this is going. And I get all that. But what's fascinating is that it's not just communication and news about government, but it's everything. It's the decentralization, of course, of pop culture, of music. You know, where we don't have Michael Jackson top 10 anymore. Now everyone's listening to their own music. But here's what I'm getting to. It's also, and I see this every day at my office, the decentralization of medicine. Where again, I have patients coming in and they're frustrated, just like people are about the news. What news source do I go to? Do I go to CNN anymore? I can't trust them. Do I go to Fox? Well, Fox has definite bias. Do I go here? Like, where can I go to get the official news? Now, you and I in this audience knows there is no official news anymore. It's basically you have to be aware and figure it out. And that's what this whole transition is for all of humanity. But the same thing's occurring with medicine. people come in, they're like, okay, well, I have prostate cancer, so what should I do? Like, what is the official word? And what patients have to realize, especially my older patients who I tend to see because I deal with prostate cancer, is these older men don't, you know, they're from another time where you know, you trusted Dr. Welby on TV or Dr. Koop. Remember Dr. Koop back in the day, the Surgeon General? You know, I mean, that's when people trusted the system. Now no one trusts anything. And so you are, we are in the age of decentralized medicine, and everything's been blown apart. And now we have decentralized medicine with the social media world in the age of Trump with a pandemic, and everyone's trying to figure out what the hell's going on. So this is an information, I mean, it's not just information war, but an information restructuring for humanity. And this pandemic is certainly going to show some of the pros and cons behind it. Yeah.
Any big issue, I don't let a good crisis go to waste in education, of people, what really is going on. Because if you examine all of these, you go, look at the distortion and lie and BS here and how they got this and passed that and the law that came and kind of, we're screwed more. You know, so it's almost a repudiation of any and everything government. Well, except for Trump, for Frank, because he's like going to something, whatever. I see up here that you got, you know, Donna, you put up some audio for Bloomberg's. Yeah, this Bloomberg Hillary thing, we haven't talked about that one. Oh, that's good. You know, I'm like, of course. You know, I was like, yeah, when was that going to happen?
Well, the thing is, the Democrats, this is what's so stunning. Trump has made these people insane. I feel like Crazy Eddie.
Insane.
Crazy Eddie here. Insane. They are selling their souls. They're selling their souls. They're selling out everything for their version of Donald Trump. And they're going to make the same mistake that Republicans did, like with John McCain. When John McCain would try to be moderate and be more Clinton-esque, I would say during that time, you can't out-liberal the liberal. Don't, you know, that's John McCain. Well, John McCain had plenty of problems. But when a politician tries to emulate the other side and be a watered-down, that's what they're doing. They're trying
Trump. So what is Bloomberg doing? He's trying to out-capitalism Trump or something? Is that what they're trying? Is that it?
Really? I don't know where to start. I mean, the first thing is this guy made all sorts of quote-unquote racist comments. Not that I call it that, but, you know, in today's world, everything's racist. So those clips are two clips alone. We should come back.
Okay. Here's the one thing. We did in 16 with Carla Fiorina, whatever. She was running the guy's horse face, whatever. Doesn't matter. You could see the internet was purged of all photographs, anything. It was always her in a pantsuit standing at the podium. It was amazing. I go, who gets to do that? Bloomberg is the same thing. Go try and find out how tall he is. You can't find it.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it. But these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These pattern monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, check this out. I try to look, I mean, because I don't care. I mean, that doesn't matter. That was a big thing about Perot. He was, you know, check this crap out. When Ross Perot was running, because I had lawsuits against, you know, access to the ballot for independence, well, I had nothing to do with Perot. But, you know, because I understood what was going to happen in Arizona, the laws and all that kind of stuff, I got a lot of press. So I'm on KTAR with Pat McMahon, you know, that used to play Gerald on Wallace and Labmo show, remember? So, Pat McMahon, did I got you there? Frank, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, this is what happened. Pat McMahon has me come on KTAR in the morning show because he wanted me to talk about Ross Perot being short. Because Gerald was short, or Pat McMahon was short. So he's like, oh, yeah, see, president can be short. And it was all about his height. And I'm going, Really? All right, whatever. I don't care. So then I got to say what I wanted to say. Now, I go, okay, well, this height thing is like a big deal because of Mini Mike and all that kind of crap because, you know, Trump's got to have a name for somebody. So I go and I look. I go, okay, how tall is he? It's 5'4". Then on his driver's license, he put 5'10", but he's really 5'8", to 5'7", to 5'6", to 5'. I'm going, wow, this is like a big deal, these guys, okay? And Bloomberg, he will not say. And I think that this is why he doesn't want to debate. He'd have to stand on a podium,
or a
soapbox thing.
That's a good point. That's the first thing Trump said on that Super Bowl thing that he did. He was, well, if, you know, if the guy wants a box, you know, I'm okay if he wants a box. Just stand on. You remember that?
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, it's just such little, but it says more about Mike Bloomberg that he's worried about it, or his handlers or something.
Think about this. Bloomberg is in a position, especially with Super Tuesday coming up, that we're going to see the dominance of this guy and how he's able to single-handedly buy the party, a billionaire, buy the Democrats, which is supposed to be the party for the little man who supposedly hates the 1%. I mean, this is like upside-down world, mirror universe. And so assuming that he becomes the nominee, you have little mini Mike Bloomberg on a box next to 6'4" Donald Trump on the same stage.
Now, I see the memes already, man.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a ventriloquist dummy on Trump's lap or some crap. I mean, I don't care. They make so much out of stuff I don't give a crap about. You know, but he should embrace it. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm short. Get over it. You know, I don't care. You know, it's just such a little I don't care crap.
No, I know. I know. The fact that we've been discussing it is pathetic.
Because they're hiding it or making a big guy with it. What the hell? And, all right, we're coming back. Here we go.
All right.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any ROADS.
We don't need no stinky ROADS. No. Oh, all right. You know, this height thing, way down on my give a crap list, but I just went to look. I mean, because he does look kind of short. You know, I see him in pictures and he's like, you know, at freaking belt level on some people. So I'm going, how tall is he? Well, it goes, calling to former New York City Mayor Mini Mike, President Trump says his potential Democratic rival is 5'4". In reality, Mr. Bloomberg stands 5'8", according to Google, says the Independent Newspaper of Britain. However, both he and Mr. Trump have faced accusations of not being sincere about their heights. The New York Times, you know, reported blah, blah, blah. On his driver's license, he says 5'10", but he was 5'7". Then they say he's 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", 5'... whatever the hell they can get away with, you know? And I'm going, wow. You're going to run for president of the United States of America, and you're going to try and hide how tall you are. Are you freaking kidding me? If you're trying to hide that, what else are you trying to hide? I'm like, holy crap.
Exactly. I mean, it shows just the ego behind this sort of run. And that's the thing, especially if you think Donald Trump is nothing but ego, which he certainly does. But I do believe, I've said a million times, I do believe Trump is doing what he thinks is best for the country. And that's a whole other issue if people don't care for him.
It's better for the country to have tall presidents.
But the thing is, for Bloomberg, why is Bloomberg doing it? Bloomberg is the type of guy that, again, someone like him would buy a president. You don't sit there and run for president and take all these hits. So what is his modus operandi? I mean, except for having some sort of personal vendetta with Trump. And we're seeing this with other rich people. It's interesting how many people in the elite seem to just have this, like whether it's Robert De Niro or all sorts of Howard Stern, people you would think that would jive with Trump being kind of, you know, a New Yorker with that attitude and successful. And yet there's this pushback from many of these people that I really did not expect, Howard Stern just being one of them. So I don't know. I don't know if there's something going behind the scenes.
Maybe behind the scenes.
Jeffrey Epstein. Maybe it's everyone who visited Jeffrey Epstein and Trump threw the guy out. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out. I don't know where this division is, but there's something going on.
You know, I keep going. I wait for Trump the movie, and I'm going, they can't. It's got to be like a... a maxi series or something. It's going to be, you know, Trump, 14. It's like Rocky, 45. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting in just the examination of the psychology. There will be classes. There'll be a whole series of classes in political science at, you know, whatever university of who gives a crap, you know, about the brainwashing and the mindset and the psyoping of this whole thing with the social media and everybody getting. We're going to look back on this and go, wow, were we snookered on so many levels. Well, yeah. I'm playing into that. I already know the future, so I'm going to be, how did you know, Ernie? I'm going, God, what the hell were you guys paying attention to, you know? Bloomberg's height.
I can envision the first degree major PhD in Trump studies.
No! Don't laugh, man. You know, because it's the Brexit thing, the concern. I remember okay. People, get your pen and paper. This is a good one for you. Century of the Self. It was a BBC series. It was 4 hours. It was a 4 one-hour segments. And it used to, you put it up, they take it down. You put it up, they take it down. You put it up, they take it down. Well, now it's put up so many places, you do a search and you'll find it. Century of the Self. It was a BBC series, and it went through, you know, Freud Bellamy, you know, nephew. Anyway, it was all public relations and how they did in politics and, you know, and screwed with your brain. It ended in the late 70s with Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, like 80 or so. And they predicted this. They go, look, let me tell you what's going to happen. This. The people are going to go conservative. They're going to, the big global elite of kind of money, we're Bloomberg, whatever the hell, guys. We're going to rule the world and kind of, and then they go, nah, well, you're going to have to deal with this Trump thing. Like, you know, it was Reagan and Margaret Thatcher in Great Britain. And it was the people just, it was a wave. Well, it's kind of this, you know, fourth turning kind of thing. Well, here it comes again. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. And everything that they're doing is just exacerbating it. It's if that's the word, you know, getting it where people can see it coming. It's just a race on how much they can rip you off, how much taxes they get you, how much controls, how much society lockdown they can do, how much surveillance they can get, how much data they can store before the general public opinion goes against all this stuff. And that's the wave that I'm riding. And they're going, Ernie, how did you know? How did you not know? What is it you're looking at? This is all coming unraveled because it's math. You can't keep doing spending, you know, all the future's money and on your children and the debt and everything. You just can't, because you can't. And unless they, you know, have faith and we just loft off zeros, they do that. Argentina does that every 10 years.
it's interesting. This is kind of a slight segue, but talking about how you see the elites and people preparing for this, whether it's crackdowns and with media or other things like Jeff Bezos. I mean, Jeff Bezos has always been acting, you know, like uber liberal, like many Hollywood people.
I'm going to Elysium in orbit.
It's like you sit there and you placate the common person, right? That's why Hollywood elite always like to act all woke or leftist, because they just assume that they don't want to be accused of having all this money with their fancy cars and their fame, and then they dictate to us. So they just, you know, they have all their fancy stuff, and then they sit back and they act like victims and say, oh, I care for the little person. Oh, I care. I'm going to wear some kind of dress about female directors like Natalie Portman and all this crap, because they don't want the people to turn on them. If nothing else, is bad for their business. Well, people like but Jeff Bezos has always been in bed with the lefties, but now the lefties are taking over the Democrats, and they now are coming after them. And they know that if Bernie Sanders gets in, they're going to basically take out Amazon. And already AOC, they want his money. So it's interesting how you're going to see people on the left, that is like Democrat or prior Democrat, like tech moguls, all of a sudden start hedging their bets, like what Facebook is doing, and now all of a sudden being in favor of free speech and then allowing some videos to stay up. But what Jeff Bezos did just yesterday, I don't know if you caught it, he made the largest donation, I think, in history, I'm not sure if Bill Gates beat him, $10 billion donation to climate change. Jeff Bezos just did yesterday.
Of course he did.
That's called extortion money. That's what he's. That's a payoff to the left if Bernie gets in, because if Bernie's being the nominee, don't turn on me with all of my money. You see, I'm giving it to climate change. I care. So I see all of these as countermeasures for what's coming.
What's coming?
Oh, I don't know, Ernie. What do you think?
Nah.
Not much. No,
they're great ignoring. You know, there's Bob goes like this. He goes, "A great Cullen's a coming." and we noticed it when we went back east. We were back in Massachusetts on the border with New Hampshire there at his hometown home. And we go to the store, go to the restaurant, and it was a bunch of entitled millennial attitude of don't make me have to work and come over there and, you know, tell you I'm not going to help you. And, you know, just ignore me. And while we're over here having our little coffee clatch with, you know, six employees, you know, yakking it while everybody else is like, hey, you know, we got to go over there and drag one out to come help you. It's just, I'm going, what the hell? And Bob, we just smile, leave our stuff at the register, screw this, and go somewhere else. And I'm going, you know, this is not going to go well. He goes, a great culling is coming. But then you talk to Derek, and Derek Lopey goes like this. He goes, nah, people, when they have to, they get off their butt and they do stuff. They just don't have to. But when they do, they're pretty creative. So I'm going, I just don't want them to be violent creative. Yeah, well, you know, I don't have to stock up stuff. I just need to go take yours when you stock it up. You know, so a lot of this is going to happen. There is going to be a balancing. There is going to be an awareness. And it's going to be, you're going to get woke. I guarantee that. You're going to get woke up. Well, then what? If we don't understand that it's the individual, and the purpose of government was to allow you to take care of yourself and your family, that is their purpose, not to be your daddy, you know? Come on. Well, I was hoping to time this so that my grandchildren would come out of this, so that Phaedra, you know, the new little baby that's not a baby anymore, 2 years old, Phaedra from Frank having that 47, his first child. Well, guess what? That kid's going to be ready from out of the ashes, from Freedom's Phoenix, from out of the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. It's going to be a bright new world. There's going to be concerns. There's going to be a lot of stuff we got to plow through. But I'm really optimistic because abundance is coming. You don't even need universal basic income. Just get a robot. Work for you.
When you're coping with bad news.
All right, next hour.
Hey, Ernie, first of all, I can only talk for another quarter. I have to get going in about 15 minutes. But right. I got something you're going to love. It just came over the wire as you're doing your end monologue there.
Right.
So it's being reported that China right now, through the coronavirus, they are now disinfecting all of the money because of that 28-day, you know, latency thing, which stays on surfaces.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that'll feed right into, well, you know what? We should go cashless. We don't want cash. Another reason to get rid of the money.
Snap! I didn't even think of that. What the hell am I paying attention to? Okay. That's good. All right. Cash, disease cash. Literally. Cash disease.
And then the thing is that when the cash is worthless, they'll say, well, it's because it's infected. We got to burn it. Joker style, you know?
Oh, Joker style. Joker burn. Oh, my God. Can't believe I didn't think of that. That is awesome. All right. Oh, I mean, you laugh, but it's, you know, it's not funny.
Right.
Oh, it is kind of funny. But it's, you know, it's just because it's so obvious to some people. You know, you bring this up, and I'm going, of course that's where they're going with this. That dirty old money. You know, see, I remember when they first started having, when they would test 20s and 100s or whatever for cocaine. And then they found out, like, all bills had cocaine on it. So they go, well, damn. I mean, you know, I guess we can't use that as a test anymore. So they got to irradiate them or something. All right. Damn. All right. So what makes you so important? You got, you know, like, patience right after the Trump report.
Trying to pay the bills. They got to pay the tax man.
What, do you got a new place yet?
No, I'm working on it. And I have to tell you, this might be interesting for anyone listening anyway. You know, I do have my international office, so I'll be switching most of my patients over there. The thing is, the international office is I'm only there one day a week for, you know, my Chinese patients, my international people. So they're not quite set up for all of my patients from my main office going over. So I'm kind of trying to see whether or not, you know, I don't want to lose too many patients with the transition. So I started thinking about going solo for no other reason than my practice. Well, first of all, just because, you know, be solo, but also because my practice is so so low maintenance. I mean, all I need is my rectal probe and my rubber gloves and KY jelly, as we kind of joke around. In other words, I don't need, I don't have a surgical bed. I don't need all sorts of equipment. So, but then I started thinking about having my own practice. And with all this technology that you talk about, Ernie, of course, we all are seeing all sorts of different ways for payment and self-payment and different ways you can have like a virtual front desk person.
Man,
and this is virtual.
Chicken
this
coop.
it starts to get to a point where you know, it's, you know, all these different services, which I've seen, I haven't myself actually put them together from my perspective to do my own practice. And I'm seriously considering it. Yeah, it's an odd time.
Well,
to start
yeah,
your own
I mean, you know, having the why not? It's going that direction. They're going to need more Franks.
Exactly.
I mean, you need like your IV room. You know, I mean, I would think that you would. I'd go, hey, man, you know, I need a place to get some treatment or whatever. See, this is how dentists work. You know, I saw this when we did the. When we first did Citizens Take an Initiative, the cover story of the newspaper that we did, all the initiatives, was the deregulation of dental hygienists. And the point that I was making was deregulation of healthcare. And the press immediately picked up on, well, you just want to deregulate healthcare. I go, wow, that didn't take long. Okay, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do, because I could see what was happening. As I studied that issue, what was going on is dentists would certainly advocate and lobby and whatever that dental hygienists, all they got to do, they come in, they're just cleaning teeth. But they went through hundreds of hours of crap. It's like to be a masseuse or to be a cosmetologist or do hair or whatever. You spend all this freaking time cleaning freaking teeth. And I go, fine, get a van and you go to, you know, some factory and you sit out during lunchtime and you do a person a day or part of their healthcare maintenance or kind of, why aren't you doing that? I don't understand. Nope, you have to be in a dentist's office. But the law was such that you didn't even have to be there. The dentist could only be contacted by pager on the golf course, and that was enough, but the dental hygienists couldn't compete with them, but they had them in their office making them money. And I'm going, what a crock of shit. I go, that is biggest ripoff ever. So what happens? You can do the same thing, but, you know, don't have to be so exploitative, but there's a lot of phlebotomists out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, do vitamin C treatments of whatever. There's a lot of things. They need a doctor's office, and you get competent people you trust to be in kind of, and you give them the facility if you make money. You know, I saw that's how the dentist did it. They just, you know, had all this hygiene. You know, hell, they did, you know, a fraction of the work. They had all these other people in there making the money by mandate of law. And I'm going, what the hell? I just thought that was corrosive as hell to the system. But if you have a facility where these people cannot, hell, yeah, do dental hygiene. Get your own freaking chair and go, oh, nope, you got to be a dentist to let them have a dentist chair or something. I hate this crap. I need some freedom, man. And if you can provide some freedom to, you know, people can, you know, do their own health care a little bit, then you got the liabilities if somebody wants to come and you come to the attention of, you know, that kind of crap. But I think, yeah, you have an office, but then you'd have to, like, show up on time and stuff. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, in many ways, I probably would not even need really an employee as much as I would like one, but... like Peter Schiff said, the worst thing you can have is an employee, you know, as far as cost and what you have to deal with. Yeah. But everything can be virtual. You know, my practice I designed, and not to get too much and waste, I mean, bore your audience, but you know, everything I did with this practice was designed with the economy in the future happening. I mean, when I was only in my 20s, you know, I voted for Ron Paul the first time back in, what is it? 88, whatever it was. So I've been part of this movement a long time. And when I decided to become a doctor, it was on purpose because, as my grandparents had said, that during the Great Depression, there were three things that you could do and you would never starve, they said. Number one is you could feed people. So if you worked at a food store with the good unions back in the day, or be a farmer, The other is if you could fix things, whether a plumber or a mechanic, right? You could always barter your services. And the third was being a doctor, which is, again, something you can always
barter. Well, then what do you need to do? You need to have a receptionist that can take care of your aquaponics system and selling fresh vegetables to
people. Yeah, exactly.
Don't laugh.
Well, and then and the other thing I did was when I became a naturopath, the reason I was a naturopath, not just for natural medicine, was because it was off the grid in a sense. So when Obamacare, or back in the day, Hillary Care was getting started in the late 90s, when they were, you know, toying around with that, I knew that eventually government health care would start to get you know, have more of a grip with America, and I didn't want to be part of the system. So therefore, going through all that medical school and all that debt to be therefore part of the system that I saw coming, I said, screw that. And I was very confused and very depressed for a while. But eventually, naturopathy was a great deal. Because
okay, we're coming back. I got. Here we go.
All right.
That and that.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Unafeared, 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 unafeared. Why are we unafeared? I mean, that's when fear's the mind killer. That's the first thing I got. We're not afraid! Because that was the one thing that has the biggest impact on anybody. Here on Declare Your Independence, with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, A, from the BEA TIFO studios of Freedoms of the Last, freedomsphoenix.com. You know, I just want people to, you know, the future is freaking awesome. There is so much, but, you know, what's happening? What's happening? We got a parasite on our neck. It is just, we got to get this, it's an attitude, it's a mindset, it's an acceptance of what the hell. Well, Trump, you know, has been the side effect of the people just, no, it's a side effect. You know, Trump and Dr. Frank Tamburi, he saw, he goes, Ernie, let me tell you what the side effect, how it's going to manifest. Well, we've been doing this over 4 years. God, has it been that long? Damn. You know, so the Trump report, it is been a going concern on us just identifying this cultural thing. Now, one thing that Frank, I want before I give it over to Frank, I got to tell him about the cash. No, you do the cash thing. Did they tell?
No, that's all right. You go ahead. I know
you're going. No, this is good. This is good.
Yeah, Ernie will have more fun with it.
Yeah. All right. So this is what happens. The last few days, they've been talking about in China. They're doing the burning. You know, the of cash, or I mean, not burning, they're disinfecting it. They're going, yeah, this cash thing, it's bad. I mean, you know, you got the disease, it stays there for a long time. Everybody's, you know, slobbering all over their money, and they're, you know, spitting on it and doing whatever the hell they're doing to it. And he goes, you know, what we need to do is we need to have somebody that is disinfecting that and so on. And then Frank goes, you know what? You know what I think? You know what I think? He goes, I think they're going to make it to where you're not going to be able to use cash anymore. We don't want to have cash because that's diseased. You don't want to have that nasty old filthy. God knows who was holding this. Ooh, doesn't represent freedom. Doesn't represent, you know, choice. Doesn't represent security and privacy. It represents disease. Oh my God! Get that! Burn it! Burn it! And then Frank came up with the idea, and he goes, just like Joker did in The Dark Knight, you know, that big pile of cash. And I'm going, that's exactly what's coming. You wait. You wait. I guarantee it. There is going to be a thing, you know, for the health of the world, we need to go cashless. I just feel it. How did you know, Ernie? Because Frank inspired me. That's why. All right. So anyway, I had fun with that. So what do you think is going to happen? Are you going to do that?
Yeah. Something's coming. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the U.S. dollar. Maybe there'll be a world burn of all the cash when the economy goes and everyone does a world burn, sort of like when people were burning the Beatles albums back in the day. You know?
No. This will be more like the plague. It'll be like bubonic plague and Ben. You know, they're going to be burning the money. This was the evil money, root of all disease. I mean, whatever the hell they're going to come out. I can see it coming. And this is one thing that ring around the rosy, pockets full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. You know, a lot of people don't know where that came from. You remember the origin of that song?
Yeah. It was the bubonic plague, I believe. I could be wrong.
Yeah, ring around the rosy. Now, that was the disease. It looked like it had like a ring around a rosette kind of thing. Anyway, they were describing, the lesion. Then they go, pocket full of posies, because people thought that if you had posies in your pockets, it was some kind of thieves' oil and all this other stuff. It was protect you from the virus or the plague or whatever it was. So pockets full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. What that was is burning of the bodies, all the ashes. Okay, so a lot of people, they didn't even know where the hell these songs come from. And what they had, thieves oil, they had all these herbs and essential oils and so on, they thought protected them. They go around all the dead and rob them, thieves oil. So I'm going, it's interesting. You start looking at the power of memes and songs and so on. Well, it's going to be ashes, we all stand up because we burned our cash and now we're digital.
Well, it's interesting, and it's funny. We started with the virus. We talked about Mike Bloomberg and Trump and everything else. We're back to the virus a bit towards the end before I go. And I'll tell you, it's interesting how humbling a virus is. I mean, it's the simplest form of life, if it's even called life. People kind of debate about how much life it really is. And yet, we've got all this technology, and I've talked to some people who are younger, and they're like, oh, well, this can't happen here. It's the old usual, well, it can't happen. It's too big to fail. America's too big to fail. This kind of attitude can't happen. But the interesting thing is, we have all this technology that we're insulated with, but none of this gives it doesn't give a crap from a virus. I mean, a virus doesn't care about your iPhone or what operating system you're using, or if you have a Tesla car or whatever else. It just goes around, over, under, all of it. And so in some ways, it's like the grand unifier of humanity through history is every 100 years, a pandemic tends to break out. At least in recent times, we are overdue from the last pandemic, which was the Spanish flu. And with all of our, distractions of politics and this and that and that, in some ways, it's humbling, and it kind of resets the field of our own humanity. The other thing, too, with that to echo that point, is it's kind of like the nationalist movement that's kind of getting a new light because of this. But here's a larger concern. When the colonists and other Europeans came to America, and of course many of the native people were not exposed to what they were brought to from Europe, and all sorts of people were wiped out. I mean, the Native Americans, I forget what percentage, like 80% of them were wiped out because of all this disease, and that's because there was no cross-pollination, and we had different backgrounds, and we're not exposed to each other. Now, in many ways, we are, but I guess what I'm getting to is if all of us in time become one homogenized society, which, of course, the globalists really do want, then we have another issue. What if some kind of disease comes and we're all the same? There won't be any segment of humanity that can withstand it that has a different background. And it's funny, I just saw the last episode of the show, and I have to tell you, Ernie, this has your name written on it. It's on Netflix now. It's called Mars, and it's two seasons, and it's kind of fictional along with some scientists. Elon Musk is in it as well. They kind of break between the fictitious future of what it'll be like for the first people to land on Mars and start the first Martian colony, and then of course they talk about scientists kind of echoing some of these points, how it's real life. And it's fascinating for you to see because you've got the governments that land the first, the Martians, but then quickly the businesses start to come. And then therefore the businesses are independent of the government, but then the businesses start to sign one-on-one deals with countries. So that becomes a way around countries to own pieces of Mars and violate treaties. And I mean, this whole thing, you would love it. It's like starting a whole new economy on Mars. It's fascinating. But during the show, you know, you find out, of course, which we still think there might be life on Mars, like some bacterial life. But what happens, you know, because this one bacteria gets out and starts killing people on that. And you know, and there's a pandemic in the Martian colonies. Not to spoil too much, I would still watch the show. But it really begs the question, what if there is something, imagine something like that, and it comes to Earth, and we're all homogenized, and all you need is one idiot, kind of like what happened in China, to go across the street to the animal market, and just one problem comes to Earth, and if we're not, you know, if we have no immunity to it, and we're all the same, it could be a problem.
Yeah, anyway, everybody that's left gets to live in a mansion. That'd be...
Yeah. Anyway,
you get down to 500 million people, well, crap, we're all living large. Woo-hoo! You know, but if you're alive, what's the answer? Freedom. It's always the answer to whatever, you know, freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? You know, and yeah. If you don't, we all collectively will get extinct. That's what's going to happen. Leave us alone. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. Okay, in the telegram, Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock telegram, they have a graphic I'm going to show up here, you know, that about the swamp, the update. I'm going to get your commentary on this one because this is good. It's just all the cabinet positions he's got, all these people from the swamp, you know, it kind of makes a point. The, I don't see, like Scott goes, I need a break from Ernie's methamphetamine-fueled diatribes anyway, so this is a good thing, because they were talking about the cutout on the feed when they, on their phones when they're doing stuff. Yeah, we cut out YouTube, you know, finally. I just, you know, they you know, come back, I'm on, you know, super secret probation or something. I, you know, I don't care.
Oh, really? So how long were we on YouTube before they did it?
I did the live YouTube, I don't know, September or something or whatever. Because we do live on DLive, Twitch. Twitch, is, I think, is Amazon. And then Float and I mean, there was a bunch of them. So I just like, whatever, you know, we just do them all. And see. But the YouTube was the one because it allowed notifications. So people would, you know, boom, I go on live. And they, ooh, what's Ernie saying? You know, so anytime I went on, you'd have an audience. So I'm just going... Yeah, you know, that's an opiate, man. It gets you in. I'm going, no, we need to have, so we deal with Float. So Kingsley Edwards is dealing with Donna tomorrow to get all detailed on how we're going to store video, live stream video, which we are now, but I want to be able to have a, because we're doing DLive as an archive, but I, you know, all these, you know, they have all good and bad, and we're just showing what we're doing, so they're like, okay, I go, if you guys can customize to where we can put it, our email dispatch in the field, like a interactive PDF like you could do on Facebook or back in the day you used to. You know, if we can do that and we can do live stream and we can archive the video, I'll make you guys the guys. We'll go around and say, this is it. Here's where it's all going, and we'll do the love bus around the country and go to float. You know, they'll work with us on that. Well, they want to do it. So I'm like, all right, rock and roll. You guys become it. Here we go. Now, Luke Radowski was in Acapulco. He had James Corbett and Dan Dix and Josh Segerson and some of the other guys up there going, all right, well, what are you guys doing? Well, they're screwed. You know? All right, here we're back. Hello, we're back. All right. This is what we're talking about. You go to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Is a Telegram group chat in there. That's where, you know, the guys are doing it. Now, this is the graphic one of the guys sent in, you know, Mike Silver guy. All right. Update on the state of the swamp. And it's a graphic, and it has all these, it has nine people that are, you know, secretaries and cabinet of whatever. All right. The head of the CIA has committed war crimes. It was what's-her-name that was, you know, doing the rendition sites of we got to torture people and stuff. So she's in, all right, so we got the head of the CIA torturing people is now, yay. The Secretary of Commerce was an investment banker. The Secretary of Defense was a Raytheon lobbyist. The head of the EPA was a coal lobbyist. The head of Health and Human Services was a big pharma lobbyist. The Secretary of Education is a billionaire heiress. The head, the Secretary of Treasury was Goldman Sachs executive. The Secretary of Interior was an oil lobbyist. The Secretary of Labor was a Wall Street lawyer. What swamp? There are federal. What swamp? These are federally protected wetlands. So, you know, a lot of these are counter to the whoever hell was in there before and they went the opposite way or something. But I'm this is just neon flashing example of Frank. I don't know. What do you got to do to defend the swamp isms, the swamp monsters here?
Well, I'm not necessarily defending them. It's, you know, I think Trump has, I think he, I've said this from the very beginning. I mean, he can't go in and just get rid of everybody because at the same time, there is an infrastructure there. And I think what he's done is he got in, he wanted to give people enough rope and find out who, you know, through vetting, you know, who are the moles, who are the people he can trust or not. That's what he focuses so much in his private business, was all about loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. And if you just crack that in any way, you're done. And when he first got in, he was trying to get rid of this swamp in many ways. But first, you have to expose it and you have to understand it. And in all credit to him, you know, he was thrust into this thing. You need to see how it works or how it doesn't work before you can fix it. I mean, any kind of restructuring you have to do. You know, if someone comes in to restructure Apple or what have you, they don't go and just fire everybody on the first day. They have to get people in who supposedly know, and you have to find out where the problems are. So I give him credit for that. The first thing he did was he tried to drain the swamp, so to speak, and he started with Comey. Of course, the minute he did and he fired Comey, then, of course, the leftists, you know, where the, you know, Democrats fired back and said, oh, you can't do that. You're trying to cover something up. And, of course, we went through that whole ordeal. And then, of course, later on, Ukraine Gate, and then a few other scandals, you know, that somehow peppered in between. So they keep trying to bog him down from draining that swamp, saying that you can't and you're covering up. Well, after this acquittal that he just went through, that is why there's nothing left, even though they're going to still try to find some other scandal to throw at him, but no one's paying attention anymore, right? It's the rope-a-dope, and that's why he now finally is doing, I think, what he needed to do. You know, we had 70 people fired just last week that we talked about. I'm sure more are coming, and now he is almost free reign, in a sense, which scares the bejesus out of course, the Democrats, because he is now in a position of control that they have been just fearful over this entire time. So
yeah, no, I mean, there's no, you know, once he gets this acquittal, whatever, you know, it you go through all this, and now he's, oh my God, he gets reelected, you know, then I'm afraid. You know, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, now I'm king kind of Trump thing. That's going to be, yeah, we'll see how he wields that kind of power. Because it may not even be malicious. It may even be what he thinks is in the best interest of whatever the hell, America Incorporated. And I'm going, and her interest, whatever the hell that is, I'm going, look, I need to, how about freedom for me as an individual? If it pleases the crown, may I be left alone? And I'm going, I'm not sure that's coming from him. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I disagree on this part of it. I think a lot of it is for me living overseas quite a bit is, you know, freedom you see it as well, I don't want to speak for you, but the freedom is a cultural issue, especially in America. I know we might want to argue that all human beings want freedom, and I agree with that. But the concept, like just the concept that you could say whatever you want, at least we used to be able to, the concept that you can own a gun. I mean, that is so foreign. You can't understand what it's like for people in other countries to conceive that they could own a gun and have it in your house. You could walk around with a gun. Like they can't even understand that concept. So it's embedded in our country, right? So there is a culture of freedom, of independence, of Ernie Hancock sitting there having his radio show and going, Donna, you know, and coffee, and you got your website, and you're saying whatever you want to say. I mean, that freedom that you deal with every day, you cannot do most places. And so it's in our DNA, but it's being eradicated as the globalists are trying to get all of cultures homogenized for their own belief system. And that's another story we've covered. So I think what Trump is doing, and I've said over and over, his win, and I've said this in the very beginning, it's not about economic policy, which I know for this audience, including myself, has always been a priority with Ron Paul. It's not about the environment, which is important to the leftists and the climate change issue. It's not about abortion. It's not about gay rights. It's not about any of these issues that have bogged down this nation for decades, fighting about abortion, fighting about flag burning, fighting about all this crap. It's the underlying culture of just who we are as Americans and George Carlin. To me, it all comes down to George Carlin. Like we are going to pass the point where George Carlin is illegal. And it sounds a little flippant saying this, but yeah, George Carlin is sort of like the line you don't cross as far as us losing our identity and the ballsiness of what we have.
Remember, stand-up comedian George Carlin.
Yeah. I mean, America started as a group of people who basically had a philosophical debate with their king and sat there and heckled him. I mean, it was kind of like Twitter back in the day, the founding father, Thomas Paine, common sense. I mean, Thomas Paine was a ticked off, blue collar guy. He was just giving the middle finger to the king.
Okay, let me do a story.
This is our background.
Okay, let's do this story today. It's up on Freedom's Phoenix right now. Here we go. That's right into what you're talking about. Here's the headline. It has George Soros, Mark Zuckerberg, and Trump in the graphic, all right? George Soros, remove Zuckerberg from Facebook now, he'll get Trump reelected, okay? So this is a Zero Hedge thing. Here we go. Mr. Zuckerberg appears to be engaged in some kind of mutual assistance arrangement with Donald Trump that will help him get reelected, blah, 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 blah. So here they got, George Soros, Mr. It's great to use Zuckerberg to get Hillary elected. I mean, that's a totally different thing. But he is not playing ball enough. There's something going on with Trump. They're using they're not censoring enough. They're not enough of something. I don't know what the hell's going on, but they don't like it, and they're not in control, and they need state-operated, like China controls of we got everybody thinking general public opinion of vote for Bloomberg Hillary ticket or something. So this is a cultural battle, and they are desperate to get hold of the conscience of America. And I'm wondering, Trump and Facebook, are they buddies? I mean, that's what got Cambridge Analytica. They took all the Facebook data and they used it, and Trump got elected. So now they're like, well, we got a toxic fake news if you're not allowed to forward, and that's why we're starting to get the bans. YouTube found us. But we knew! We were going low-key. We're like, yeah, we're out here.
Congratulations, Ernie.
Sons of whatever. I'm like, it took you this long? Damn.
Are you tired of...
I go, what the hell I got to do, man?
Ernie, I have to go. I don't know if you got the other clip from Donna. Did you see that song by Elon Musk? Did you see that?
No.
I said it to Donna.
Doubt your vibe.
Yeah, exactly. So Elon Musk, aside from making the Teslas and energy efficient cars with the green batteries, and on top of SpaceX and making heavy boosters and rocket ships that come down and doing the tunnel and doing everything else that this guy does in his free time, he's making dance songs. It was on SoundCloud. It's number 4 in the world on SoundCloud.
Yeah, it was just, what was it, bedroom music or something I heard about or whatever?
Yeah. It's just fun. This guy's living the life. I love Elon Musk, everything he's doing, and he has time to do a dubstep, a little dance number.
He's whatever. I'm just glad he's there. We need to support people, just
he's
freedom
amazing.
To do
he's amazing.
Whatever they want. Yeah. All right, go be on time for patience.
All right, gotta go. Peace.
All right, peace, brother. Bye. You know, amazing that you know, because Elon, he made something cool. And he goes, yeah, I can do that. Don't doubt your vibe. All right, did he actually do it? Let's see. Don't doubt your vibe. Lyrics, audio. Ah! Elon Musk, audio. Ah, that's awesome. Okay. Let's see. How many views? 840,000. Oh, my God. Oh, all right, we'll come back with that because we can. That'd be fun. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Don't doubt your vibe. You know it's true. This is Elon Musk. Now, this is like, oh, man, it's like number 4 on SoundCloud or whatever. It's just, because. It's kind of a nighttime, you know, bedroom vibe of whatever the hell, background or something. And it's because he can. That's awesome. You know, and it becomes very popular because it's kind of techno cool. You know, and there's one thing that, you know, it's kind of interesting for me is that, you know, Elon is kind of my generation. I mean, is he 50 yet or something? Whatever. I mean, at least he's older. And he kind of, you know, understands some cultural aspects of different things and old movies and whatever, and it kind of got Americanized, and it's, you know, it gets it, you know, some memes. It's just more kind of, I get it, at least, you know, I understand some of the references, and it's kind of fun. And, you know, ludicrous speed, I mean, you know, this stuff is, a lot of guys are, what the hell are you talking about, you know? So I'm great having characters like this around. And if it wasn't for Elon, who would it be? Bezos? Man, he never saw a government program he didn't want to, you know, be in charge of. So I'm the future, you know, has a lot of opportunity. I'm telling you, for those of us that are freedom oriented, we're not limited by the choices that we are decreasingly being given, you know, by the man. You know, you must think this way, do this thing and that, and kind of you're not allowed and nothing else. And here you go. Yay. Well, Dr. Frank had to go play doctor, so, you know, it's just me. You know, get over it. This is one thing that's up here. Now, what you see on the side is because of what I search for all the time or something. You know, it comes up. Yours is probably different. But this one, we put it up a few days ago. It's called, This Equation Will Change how you see the world. And it's talking about complex systems and this and that and equation of, and you can, you know, doing, you change variables and you can determine yada, 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 yada. And it's a Veritasium is a channel that I watch, you know, a lot when I want to be sound like smart and stuff. But the thing is that what this equation does is it shows you equilibrium in everything. Population growth of rabbits, how it starts to split off, and then it starts to, you know, you start to see like fractal math coming in, and you can predict the future. You can see what's going to happen. You can find the equilibrium in different systems. You know, do baby rabbits just keep producing until they take over the world? You know, will humans? You know, we starting to have a drop in population. You know, based on what? You know, I mean, it's a lot of these things can be predicted. When I talk to guys about the Elliott wave, and I go, Bob Proctor, I think is Proctor is his name, and Elliott wave, and I started doing Elliott wave shows back in 2003 when I first started doing radio. God, how long is that? That's like a long time ago, 17 years. Damn. Okay. I have some audience that's probably not even that old. So anyway, so back in 2003, back in the day, you know, and I'm bringing on these freedom-oriented libertarian concepts of morning show here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and throughout the valley here in the Phoenix market, it was like, you know, damn libertarians talking about freedom and stuff and making points. We can't buy advertisement on that, you know. Of course, the phones were ringing off the hook, but you know, it's you could see what was going to happen, and it wasn't, you know, a big giant secret to me. I could see, you know, what was coming. And it's just so interesting to me to see it play out. I don't get upset. Fortunately, we have, you know, supporters and allow us to keep doing this based on our faith and their faith in people. It's amazing how this stuff comes out and the math works. And anybody that's got a math background or they understand complex systems or chaos theory, like Professor Butler Schaefer, may he rest in peace, he just recently passed away. You know, this is everything that they were talking about and had faith in. And when they died, there was no secret what was going to happen. They're just like, ah, don't worry about it, man. It all works out in the end. But in 2000, Mark Victor, before we started doing our Freedom Summits in 2001, Mark Victor had a luncheon thing for his clients. And, you know, he always like, you know, give me a stage, okay? So he had at this big Chinese, it was a restaurant, but it was like a hall. You know, they had a lot of big meetings there, and it kind of had restaurants, but then they also had big meetings, and it was always catered Chinese food. Well, he had, back in the East Valley here in Chandler and so on, and what he did is he have guest speakers, and he put on an afternoon event. Well, that's, you know, kind of what born into the Freedom Summit. Well, what we did, and this is all Mark's thing, you know, and then later, you know, I went to it, and he's like, hey, let's do this, you know, regular. And so, okay, so that's where that started. But he had Vince Aprinowitz and Butler Schaefer. That was the debate on the future, the optimism of the future, and a really good points were made. Butler Schaefer made the point, he goes, look, man, this stuff always happens. You know, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets messy first and yada, 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 yada. What Vince Aprinowitz was saying, he goes, yeah, maybe long term or maybe, you know, but tell that to the people in the Warsaw Ghetto. You know, I don't think they were thinking freedom was trending while, you know, the Hitler's armies are putting them in the ghetto and, you know, cordoning them off and, you know, you figure it out. I mean, it's timing. It's when, where, how. You may be trending, you know, towards way more freedom, much higher standard of living, much, we were getting a lot healthier, you know, until this vaccine stuff, because, you know, the infection rates of all diseases was plummeting in the 60s. It was just hygiene and clean water and wash your hands. I mean, that was having a big impact. And then it starts going back up again because of all these problems. It's just, yeah, you know, do the science. So anyway, Vin was making the point that, you know, yeah, we may be trending in the long term, but, you know, why are we having these problems in these particular instances throughout history, and what's causing it, and where we need to address that on a more immediate term? Where Butler was taking a long-term approach and saying it doesn't matter. All that is just going to feed into it, which is the question I asked on the Elliott wave. Elliott wave is seeing patterns in life systems, because how you see a pattern, you'll go, okay, sunspots. Probably the whole pattern, everything is the sun. You know, it goes up, it goes down, it warms, it cools, it gets, you know, and it has a big giant impact. Is it, you know, the core of the earth? Is it the weather? Is it the, you know, some cycle of life? Yeah, based on what? The thermonuclear device in the sky, man. I mean, the sun, you know, cycles in a bunch of stuff. It's called life. So you go, all right. Well, what's the cycle of life? I don't know. It wants to keep on keeping on. How can I keep going? What do I got to do to change, to alter, to evolve, to keep going? You know, to be more productive, to be more, get more. I want more for me, and, you know, and I don't care if you get more. I just want more. You know, so life, that is the way it is. So you go, okay, you start seeing these patterns. Well, one of the things, you know, what are the long-term patterns have they kept track of? Things like the flooding of the Nile for thousands of years. So when you look at these kinds of systems, you start to see patterns, and it's patterns of anywhere there's life, you will have these patterns. It's based on math. From what? If you keep going back, it's the sun. Because it's energy in, you know, how much you put here. It has, you know, laws of, you know, everything. Thermodynamics, gravity, this, that. What I mean, you know, it's a pattern. So you look at these patterns and you start to see, okay, it's a life pattern. And you, but if you can change some inputs, you can alter some different things a little bit here and there. You got a war, a pandemic, a disease, a this and that. So I go to Elliott Wave and I go, what about all this, you know, like election fraud? You know, what manipulations in the market? What about, he goes, it's all part of the pattern. It's all part of the variables. It's all part of it. That's part of it. The corruption is part of it. It all equals out and goes in this direction. What direction? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Because life wants the freedom of options.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm trying, damn it, you know, but, you know, it's not impossible. We get to express ourselves. Yep, and I get to do it enthusiastically, and as Scott says, methamphetamine rant. Well, freaking get over it. You'll listen somewhere else, something. Here, we're having fun, because, you know, what is the point? The biggest point is like when we had Drusilla on in the first hour. If you are not inspired, if you do not have the confidence, if you are not able to express yourself and your support for things and the confidence of the position that you wish to advocate, well, let me help you. They don't send this to say, hey, man, go listen to this. Well, this guy's convinced. This guy's confident. This guy understands. This guy's not afraid, because that's what it, fear is the mind killer. This is the biggest impact that I've had on anything that I have done, is that the enthusiasm and the confidence of a position that you can take that is clear. Freedom is a solution to so many things. I don't know anything it's not. Somebody will call. I do this all the time. We take a lot of call-ins here in the Valley. I go, all right, bring it on. Everybody wants to, they want to get some. Here we go. Here I go. And they go, yeah, but don't you think that? I go, hey, I do think. I just probably don't think what you think. What are you thinking? And they're going, well, the problem, I go, whatever it is that you're going to say, I guarantee that I'm going to pick out a point and I'm going to say, more freedom in that would make that problem go away, or better, or more options, or more opportunity for you to be able to choose your own path, blah, 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 blah. More freedom is going to be the freaking answer every freaking time. Do I got to slap the audience around? Do I have to? I mean, I got to do that? Hopefully not. You know, you're getting, you know, so what am I doing? We're all educating ourselves. The guests that we have is to give us more ammunition so that particular shows. I could, you think I don't see it? I can see the, you know, the first thing I asked Drusilla this morning, I'm going, did you promote our show? You know, with a lot of the people, she goes, yeah, I sent it to so-and-so in the community of the vaccine of the whatever. Boom, because it was already, you know, a lot of people, you know, gone to the show. I could see the traffic. Went, damn, I haven't even started it yet. Usually that's, you know, after we post it and people, we got a lot of audience, you know, after the live show, you know, as much or more during the show. So I'm going, okay, wow. So that show, it'll go. And then they get some Dr. Frank afterwards, and we talk about the Wuhan virus, and we got, you know, the Trump report, and then they get, you know, some of the, and we mentioned Alex, Aquarius, that we did last week. That was a really good show on how immunity really works and the vaccines, and they don't, and long-term, and it can, you know, this is stuff that I know Dr. Judy, you know, like, glosses over or said it, but it wouldn't explain to me the different levels of how you the vaccines they put in, they get kind of little antibodies, but it doesn't infect the mitochondria to where the real lifelong immunity comes from. So you're not getting immunity. You're getting kind of this barrier for 6 months or a year and a half or something. Then it goes away and you're not immune. That's why all these people that got all these vaccinations keep getting sick. Because it doesn't really cure you. What does is you actually getting exposed to the virus. And that's where the herd immunity comes from. This herd immunity crap with these vaccines is a lie. And they don't tell you that. So where do you get that? Well, I'll share it with you. I'm learning at the same time you guys are. Enthusiastically, that's the way it's going to be. Get over it. Because that is what's needed. Just like Drew was a perfect example, she came to the Vaccine Education Summit in 16. She had to see the confidence that we put into that. Look, I know what's coming. You guys get on this train. You get, you know, ready to rock and roll, and listen, we're going to get some. Then we do it again in 19. And then what does she do? She brings in Wakefield. He's going to be there. I'm like, awesome. In early March, you know, it's going to be in Tucson area. She wants to get 400 people there. I'm like, damn, okay. During the middle of the week, during the day? She goes, yeah, because I want the mothers to be able to take their kids to school. We'll have like a little daycare thing, help kind of whatever. Get as many people as possible there for them to get inspired, for them to get the information, for them to go out in confidence, because that's where they're going after you. And this is why I called my daughters and daughters-in-law and I said, I had no idea how much pressure you were under at the pediatrician. Because one, if you love your baby, you're going to well baby visits, which means they're going to give them a shot. And then you go, okay, well, here, check on the kid. Well, now we're here, roll up the sleeve. Oh, no, we're not doing the shot. What? Then why did you come here? Good question. Why did I come here? And give me a new doctor and have the confidence to do that. And you ain't got to preach. You go, nah, I'm just, no. So then what do? Oh, well, then it's fear, intimidation, force. We're going to take your children away. You're obviously a bad mom. You want your children taken away? When you got to resort to that kind of crap, oh, it's on. So what do? You mamby-pamby it? Not in this house. Not on this show. That ain't what we're about. So get over it. Turn the volume down. I just, because, man, woo, we're going to get some. And that is why I do this. Is because I know that there's so many people out there. Some of you may have a voice. Some of you are just plain dicks. Some of you look for an opportunity to point on some social media. Some of you need to, you know, kind of get, you know, got a little angst going on. That's what gives you life, is that you got somebody to respond or whatever the hell it is. Instead of informing. Instead of encouraging. Instead of inspiring. If you're not inspiring, what the hell are you doing? Just criticizing everything? You better start getting inspiration, because that's the only thing that's going to have any kind of impact in the future. They go, what are you doing this? So I go, to inspire. Inspire what? To send me money? To listen to me? To do what I say? No! For you to do it, your freaking self. Like Drusilla did. She goes, you know, I'm inspired. I'm going to go do it. Boom! Why do you think I'm doing this Love Bus tour? You think I like living in 100 and, you know, something square feet of nothing? You know, well, probably. I mean, I'm going to, you know, it's a positive ad. Silver linings everywhere. I'm going to enjoy. It's going to be a very interesting part of my life. You know, not the end of my life. I mean, you know, they're going to invent the pill. I'm going to live forever or something. But, you know, we're in pretty good shape. You know, kids are good. Our youngest is, you know, 30 now, you know, of our children. You know, the grandkids are getting up there. We got some babies. We're watching babies this weekend. Babies. We have four of the kids over, you know, all weekend and kind of, you know, and having fun with that. But, you know, and getting, you know, the youngest baby and kind of getting bonded and everything. And then we're gone. You know, and we got to come back and spend time with that. But our family is good. They're tight. They're close. They're informed. They're taking care of themselves. They got jobs. They're not taking every freaking shot from everybody. They are inoculated of the mind and the body with the truth. So what better time than for grandparents to go out and try and create a better world for the grandchildren? Because it was always part of the plan. 2016 is when I saw that it was coming. I mean, yeah. I go, 2016 was the time that our kids were our age when we were coming. I go, by the time they're our age, which is 2016, man, it's going to be different. So Donna and I are putting aside our entire life, you know, of our home, everything, to go on the road to create an environment to help inspire, to do another evolution with Love Bus for people to have the confidence to be able to speak up for themselves and bond with other people that think the same, that they just want the truth. We know the truth, and it's not what the hell they're saying, that we, as individuals, will be able to raise our families and make decisions for ourselves better than anybody else. And I don't do that mamby-pamby. It's with confidence and loud, and get over it. So people are going to be inspired by this trip, I guarantee it. And here we go. You want to help? Fine. You think you can do it better? Rock and roll. How much can I do to help? Because I'm looking for the people that want to do this. How can I come to your itty-bitty little baby community and help you do it? I'm already booked up through, God, the summer. If there's some little quick stop by and kind of help and something, get in on the list in the calendar, because, man, it's already filling up. And I tell you, by the time we get done, America is going to be totally different. Totally different. Totally different. Which way?